And good morning. Hello. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. This is Dr. Morgan in Jacksonville. Oh boy, if I could just push the right buttons. All right, let me try again. Okay, I've got everything right. What I want you to do today, whatever I say this morning, please feel free to question any terms that I use or any ideas or concepts. That's fine by me. If you're crazy about the way that you feel right now and you feel fabulous, I may not say anything that's really relevant to you. Or I may just reinforce what you're already doing that's proving to produce very, very good health. But what if you don't feel quite so good? What if your body doesn't work the way it should? What if the only thing that we do is we rely on the standard of care to take care of us? So, for example, let's say that you suffer from depression. And the only options you're really getting, which I know you know this, if you've had depression, you don't want it. You wouldn't wish anybody else to have it. You wouldn't wish it on your enemies. Girl, stop that. Sorry, I brought my two daughters here, and I'm telling them to stop poking each other with pins. But let's just say that you have depression. What I would look for is there any reason that we, or how can we demonstrate that the body is not working the way that God designed it to? So, let me run this past you for a second, because the other option you have is you have powerful pharmaceutical drugs that can alter serotonin levels, but I don't know that that's even coming close to addressing the root cause of the problem. Now, I've talked to you about this before, but what I want to do is I just want to give you a brief take on it, and I want to get your feedback, and you tell me what you think. All right. I think I got this information from Joe Mercola, so I want to give him credit for it. And he writes, depression is increasingly recognized by researchers as a condition rooted in chronic inflammation. Do you know what that means? That means if your brain or your mind or your emotions don't function the way that you want, can't we just take a step back without having emotions involved and say, I wonder if there's something that's causing inflammation? Don't you think that's a good question to ask if you go to a doctor and you ask the question, Doctor, what could be causing my symptoms? I know there's got to be something. What is it? Dr. Mercola writes, inflammation occurs throughout the body due to unmanaged stress, the activation of fight or flight thoughts or feelings, as well as inflammatory causing foods and other substances, which all those are tremendous topics that we might want to delve into if that's what you want to hear. He goes on to write, some cytokines and other inflammatory messengers such as C-reactive protein, interleukin-1, interleukin-6, and tumor necrosis factor alpha, these are all predictive and correlate to depression. And I don't know if you just caught what I just said right there or what I read from Dr. Mercola, but he just gives four chemical messengers that can be easily measured through a blood test. Now, what I want to ask is, if you suffer from depression, let's just say that you're paralyzed and you can't live the life of your dreams and you feel like that you're living in fear and you cannot function. Well, I don't want you to be paralyzed. I want you to reach your full God-given potential. Do you even know what you're capable of? I mean, I'd be the first to admit I haven't even come close to tapping into my full potential. And there's nothing you can do to talk me out of that. But if you were to go to the doctor and say, Doctor, I have depression, could you please measure my CRP levels? That's short for C-reactive protein. Very common blood tests. Most physicians offer that. But what if that test came back and showed that it was elevated? Would you do diligence? Meaning, would you ask a question? What is behind that, doctor? What if you asked your doctor to order a C-reactive protein, interleukin 1 or interleukin 6 or tumor necrosis factor alpha? Because all these have tremendous correlation to depression. Mercola writes, and I quote, "For example, in melancholic depression, bipolar disorder, and postpartum depression, white blood cells," which this is a slightly different topic, but it's a marker that we can sink our teeth in and look at. "White blood cells called monocytes, they express pro-inflammatory genes that provoke secretion of cytokines." Interesting. I know that doesn't mean a lot to us, but what if we develop the wherewithal and the technology to be able to identify these things? And if we can identify them, then we can ask the question, well, what can we do to modulate this or modify it? How can we tilt the balance in the person's favor where they have a much better outcome and they start to feel better? You know how many wives I have spoken with over the last 30 years that tell me the bizarre things that their husbands do? Oh, it would be brutal. Or I've heard husbands, they've called me equally on the phone also, talking about their wife. Well, what if we could have the wife of our dreams, or the husband of our dreams? And I'm referring if you're a female. I know that's very biased, but I'm sorry. That's just the way I see it. So, if somebody has severe depression or bipolar disorder or severe postpartum depression, what if we just looked at monocyte count? Since they tend to have this pro-inflammatory gene that promotes the release of interleukin 1 and interleukin 6. Well, what if you did a blood test and the doctor says, well, your blood work's normal, ma'am, except you have a slightly elevated monocyte count. And you go, well, what does that mean, doctor? And the doctor says, well, I wouldn't worry about that. And you're going, well, then why do they have like an optimal range versus one that's over the top high? Well, I wouldn't pay attention to that. The article that I read this morning before I came on the air is all about suicide and what markers you find in the blood just prior to that. And lo and behold, what do you find? High levels of cortisol. So prior to someone committing suicide or attempting suicide, you'll find elevated levels of cortisol. This means something. Cortisol is telling, in just normal amounts, cortisol is a good substance. But what if it's in excess? Cortisol is a stress hormone, but too much cortisol starts breaking down tissues. He goes on to write, cortisol sensitivity then goes down, but cortisol is a stress hormone that guards against inflammation. Together, Dr. Mercola writes, these inflammatory agents transfer information to your nervous system, typically by stimulating your vagus nerve, which connects your gut and your brain. That is important because the vagus nerve plays a central role in the health of digestive organs and the heart producing serotonin. I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but 95% of your serotonin is produced by those enteric nerve cells that reside within your gut. And so having a healthy gut free of excessive inflammation is one of the keys to having the life of your dreams. Okay? I know this doesn't make perfect sense yet, but just hear me out. Researchers think that at least one-third of depressed patients have high levels of inflammation. I would say it's probably more than that. Anti-inflammatory drugs have been shown to favorably alter neurochemical pathways involved in depression. However, there are natural anti-inflammatory agents, including curcumin that comes from turmeric. Nutritional ketosis also decreases inflammation. Folks, I cannot make this stuff up. Maybe you have never heard of this process. Nutritional ketosis also decreases inflammation. Do you know that studies show that ketosis causes the heart to operate 40% more efficiently? I think I mentioned a couple weeks ago. Oh, come on. If there was a drug that could increase heart efficiency by 40%, we'd have something. A gentleman drove to my office. I left the office yesterday at 10 minutes till 4 o'clock. So if you call me after 4 o'clock, I weren't there. I was gone. Running errands, doing things that, you know, need to be done. Probably some of it was fun stuff for me. But to make a long story short, a guy drives up who's in his 80s. And over the last few months, he was explaining to me that his heart was skipping a beat and he'd probably over... You know, and he was very honest. He was telling me specifically that he probably was not sleeping as much as he needs to, and he was staying up too late. But this guy's kind of excited about life and learning, and there aren't many topics that he doesn't delve into. But then again, he's a lifelong student. He loves to learn. Whereas there's other people that don't even work for a living, and if you ask them if they read, they don't. I do not understand that, but I would say if you want a job, maybe you should start learning. Anyway, but he was telling me one of the recommendations I gave him maybe 2 months ago was to take an herb called hawthorn. Oh, sure, I would imagine if you prescribe drugs for the heart, this is probably not on the list of something that you're going to prescribe. But have you ever heard the term regeneration? Regeneration is a really good word, folks. It means your body can actually grow new cardiac cells to replace the ones that are damaged. But he told me, he said, something very mysterious has happened to me since I started taking the hawthorn. He said, my heart has completely stopped skipping beats. My attention's not drawn to any longer. That's just my terms, but that's what he said. That's a way of saying I don't have like chest pain and this other stuff. But he was saying, I find myself sleeping an additional hour. Now, I'm not trying to tell you everything that Hawthorne's done to him. But he told me, he said, I've kind of racked my brain. What have I done differently? Don't you think that's just kind of normal to figure things out? Okay, I want to repeat this. This is a very good response. What have I done differently? Oh, yes, that's what I've done. I've started taking Hawthorne. Well, folks, I'm telling you, there's gold in what I'm telling you. If you don't get it, I'm sorry. But I'm giving you so many clues about how to restore tissues. Now, I realize I've been talking about inflammation linked with depression. So, I was mentioning anti-inflammatory agents, but it made me think of an article that I read of how to rejuvenate the heart. And so even hawthorn has been shown in many studies to actually dissolve clots that build up in the heart muscle. Oh, sure, I know your cardiologist is going to tell you that it's impossible to have the clot, you know, where there's heart damage, it's going to be hard for that clot to dissolve and to go away. It's going to be impossible, especially to have it replaced by new healthy heart tissue. Oh boy, I don't know that that's the way I think. I just don't know that I buy into that. Anyway, he goes on to say that animal-based omega-3 fatty acids that come from salmon or cod liver oil or fish oil and vitamin D3, they're also important anti-inflammatory nutrients. I read an article on my lunch break 2 days ago, and it was talking about fact versus fiction or myths about fish oil. And they were saying for just very, very severe cases of depression that do not respond, if you add fish oil to the equation, guess what happens? They start to come out of their funk. Folks, I can't make this up. If you're interested in helping yourself, I'll give you a clue. If you're going to help yourself, you're going to have to change your philosophy. And the other thing that you're going to have to do is you're going to have to make sure that you put real stuff in your mouth. If you use synthetic nutrients or processed foods or packaged foods to try to restore your health or fast food, oh yes, I heard a story yesterday from a gentleman, and I won't give any details, but he was referring to a significant person in his life that has a major degenerative condition, but the person wanted to eat in such a way that would only make it worse. Anyway, I won't go into that. That's a different topic. Now, I have read this article to you twice, but here's what I want you to think of. Let's just say we're on the topic of depression. They know that there is a substance that can be measured in the brain. It's called brain-derived neurotrophic factor. And for short, they call that BDNF. It can be measured. Now, what they call it a growth hormone that promotes neuronal health and plays an important in the creation of memories. And it triggers the the growth of what I would call new neural connections in the brain between neurons. It's well known that BDNF, or brain-derived neurotrophic factor, it tends to be really low in patients that have depression or have suffered from bipolar or schizophrenia. And the articles that I've read to you in the past show that sugar really depresses the production of brain-derived neurotrophic factor. And so if you knew that, wouldn't you want to do something about that? I mean, you're not here to please me. I mean, I think I'm kind of a happy person anyway, but I mean, do you want to function at a high level? Are you living the life of your dreams? All right, let me read this to you right here. This to me is very, very interesting. I thought I had it marked. Okay, here it is right here. All right. This is a different article right here. Reduced levels of brain-derived neurotrophic factor are associated with depression and poor learning. Poor learning. That means it's hard for you to get information. It's hard for you to make good decisions. I think I read an article one time when they have measured blood levels of brain-derived neurotrophic factor in people that make bad decisions. Theirs is low. To me, that's quite fascinating. Do you know of anyone? Do you have a brother? Do you have a sister? Do you have a child? Do you have an uncle, an aunt, a cousin, a friend, a parent? Do you know of anybody that consistently makes very poor decisions? A lot of times, your decisions are based on how they feel in the moment, circumstantial. That is not a good way to roll. Well, maybe they have low levels of brain-derived neurotrophic factor. You know what? You kind of need that. If you're going to form very good memories, if you're going to be happy, you might need some of this. Anyway, I'll cut to the chase. Studies show that turmeric or curcumin increases the level of neurotrophic factors that are responsible for growth and survival of nerve cells. That's called BDNF. Turmeric. When's the last time you've gone to a doctor and said, "Doctor, I do not make good decisions. I don't feel good about myself. Everything is doom and gloom. I'm not a happy person. I hear voices. I've got depression, anxiety." When's the last time a doctor's talked to you about brain-derived neurotrophic factor? Well, if they did, I can tell you what would happen, because you'd have a follow-up question like I would. Well, where does it come from, and how do you get it, and what do you do to improve it? And is it low when somebody makes poor decisions and has depression? All those are viable questions. But what if that's not the narrative we're told? What if the narrative we're told is, "Here, take this antidepressant medication. Is there anything else I can do to change my diet?" No. Well, that would be wrong. Anyway, this is just phenomenal. You know what? Other article I read this morning, it was earlier between 4 and 5 o'clock. But you know what? It's good. I'm not telling you to research these things. You can do whatever you want. I have a lot of patients. They're totally into improving themselves. You know what? It would be good if you woke up this morning and you looked at yourself in the mirror and you would just come to terms with reality and say, "I know for a fact that I can do better. I've got lots of improvement to grow spiritually. I can be better mentally and emotionally. I can work harder. I can get smarter." Well, how do you do these things? Well, number one, you got to have an attitude that you've got stuff to learn. If you have an attitude that you already have all the answers and you're the supreme source of knowledge in the universe, then you may not really be willing to learn something new or to hear a different opinion or hear somebody else's take on it. I think some of the most thought-provoking things that I've ever heard come out of another person's mouth start off with the phrase, "Do you mind if I give you just a little bit different take on this, or can I give you a different perspective?" And I tell you what, when I hear somebody say that, I think, I am in the presence of a very wise person. But if you wake up this morning and you're convinced that you can improve your health, I think you're in pretty good company today, folks. You know what the title of this program is? It's Health Essentials with Me. Yeah, we're going to change the title to Health Essentials with Me. All right, if you want to join me on the radio this morning, if you have a question or a comment, 903-586-5257. There's a phone line officially open. You can call any time that you want, and I'll be glad to get your call straight in, and we'll start answering questions. At least I'll do the best that I can. Obviously, I can't make any promises or guarantees that I have all the answers, because I know that I don't, but I can tell you right now, that article that I read about salt ions this morning, it was just, it's just right up my alley. I'm eating it like food. This to me is food. I know it's not food, but they were talking about negative ions that are generated by salt lamps and how it makes you happy. Well, I have a salt lamp by my bed. Maybe that's why I feel so good, or one of them. Good morning and welcome to the program. How are you today?
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. How are you?
I am good, thanks.
Good. Hey, last week you touched on a gal called up who had basal carcinoma on the tip of her nose. I think she said infiltrative type.
Yeah.
And I don't know if yesterday, last week was pre-recorded or not, but
Well, this week is pre-recorded too.
Oh.
Wait a second, or not, or it's not.
So you mentioned a product called Curaderm.
Yes.
And I ordered it, which they have not sent it yet. I'm struggling with that company.
I am real sorry, but if you had said pretty pleased with sugar on top, it would have arrived at your door 1 minute earlier.
Well, I don't know what the mix-up is, but I'll call Monday morning because it's been 3 weeks. And
are you serious?
They send you a book. They send you.
Boy, that is what I call exceptional customer service, right?
Yeah, I know. But anyway, I'm apprehensive and nervous about using it, being it is on the tip of my nose. And of course,
if you will look at the book, you don't even have to read it. Just look at the before and after pictures.
Okay.
But it's been my experience. It's not going to leave a crater there.
Okay.
It's not going to look like the Grand Canyon.
Okay.
That was a bad joke, sorry. It's not going to leave a hole. Because what it will do is it's going to remove the very, very dysfunctional, aberrant tissue from your nose.
Okay.
Or wherever this location is.
Yeah.
Are you talking about your nose?
On the tip of my nose, yes.
Okay.
The tip of my nose, yes.
Man, I'm telling you, I'm giving you good advice, sister, and I just want to encourage you. It's going to be just fine, but for a short season, it's not going to look good.
Yeah, okay.
But if you don't remove the bad, toxic, cancer-causing tissue, how are you going to replace it with healthy nose tissue?
That's exactly right.
Actually, I don't know if the term nose tissue is actually scientific, but I'm calling it nose tissue.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be fine. It'll fill right back in. So if you get the book called The Eggplant Cure,
yeah,
you can at the very least look at the pictures because it's got like some great pictures. But I've seen it, and all you do is you better read how to take it, and you better use it properly, and you better use it long enough.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the number one problem that I've seen with people is they try to do it hit or miss. That means, Dr. Morgan, I used it. Well, how'd you use it? I tried once. All right, one application is not the recommendation. Really? Did you read the instructions, ma'am?
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you do that, I think you're gonna get great, great results.
Super. Okay, so how long is the typical amount of time? I've used black salve before.
We're not talking about black salve.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to use that on my nose. So how long is typical? 2 to 3 months?
Well, what I want you to do is, let me tell you what I'm getting at here. For one individual, it may only take 4 weeks to get the job done. But there's just so many factors to look at. And let me say this way, and I hope that I'm not being negative, because I really don't want to be. I would rather try to care for a person at the earliest stage of a disease or a process while they still have strength and energy. But if somebody is brought to me on a stretcher and they remove, let's just say they remove the tile roofs from the top of my house and they have four friends that lower them down so I can examine and take care of them. That's really just a joke. But anyway, that's really when they're past the point of no return because their body's completely broke down.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is, to some degree, this is going to tell me how radiant you are. So the least amount of Curaderm that you have to use to get the job done tells me that you're quite radiant and quite healthy. But right. if you have to use it for a longer period of time, that tells me you may have some other systems within your body or your immune system that just aren't working the way it should. Because after all, your immune system is supposed to be continually looking for any type of aberrant tissue or toxic tissue or cancerous tissue or viruses or parasites or bacteria. And it's trying to make sure that it keeps your body free from these things. So okay. I do not want the human body to be a good place for cancer to grow. Just like, do I want your lungs to be a good place for double pneumonia to live the rest of your life? No! I want you to be quite radiant, so I don't know enough about you.
And okay, so I'm semi-radiant.
Well, I know, but if you haven't tried the Curaderm yet...
No.
I know
but
you want
right.
me to...
I had candida, and I had fungus, and I think I'm pretty much over that. And
What do you mean you have a fungus?
Well, I was tested, and I had a fungus, they said, and so I've been on, you know, no sugar, no flour.
Well, that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, no sugar, no flour, no cheese, no dairy.
So really, you can't even be improved upon, can you?
Yeah, I can be.
Oh, you can be. Oh, trust me, okay.
So I'm trying to eat more broccoli.
Good.
More those kind of foods.
I would say everything that you're talking about is extremely relevant and very, very good. I'm giving you an A+ on your report card.
Well, I listen to you every week.
I don't remember talking about sugar and broccoli, ma'am. I don't know. Well, and do that. And so, you know what? I would love to tell you it's going to take exactly 52 days to resolve this basal cell carcinoma on the tip of your nose. I like the number 52.
That's a okay number.
Well, how many
but
days did it take?
I understand it can take a while. So are there anything else I can do to pump up my body to make sure I can do this, you know, and get the maximum benefit out of it quickly?
Well, for example, how much time do you spend in exercise every day?
Well, I have a farm, so I figure that's pretty much exercise. But
I would
agree.
From the house,
you know, walk the dogs, but that's about
well,
it.
If you will give me just a few more clues about you. What would you say are your weaknesses?
Probably exercising from the house. When I'm at the farm, of course, it's, you know...
Well, I'll do it in reverse. If you come out of the shower and you look at yourself in the mirror, do you like what you see?
I'm getting there. I think being on the no sugar, no flour, no cheese and dairy, I'm getting a flatter tummy. The
good.
Little tire is going away.
Oh,
and
good.
So that's going away. Working on the hips.
Are you the type?
I'm not terribly overweight.
Are you the type that goes to a physician and gets a blood test once a year for like just an evaluation on how you're doing?
Yes.
And is there ever anything that's not like outside the normal range?
Yes. This year, homocysteine level went from 6 to 8.
I sure do not like that. So what did your physician tell you to do about that?
He never noticed it.
Okay, but you did, right?
And I did, uh-huh. And I brought it to his attention. He says, oh, that's nothing. That's fine.
Oh, of course, yes.
That's within normal range. And I says, no, it's not. It said it went from 6 to 8. Something's going
well,
on
it's,
in the body.
It's not like you had an article in your hand saying that the most accurate laboratory test to determine if someone's predisposed toward Alzheimer's is homocysteine.
Right.
And you could say, well, doctor, it says here anything above 7.7. And, of course, this is all a very relative conversation because, I mean, I've seen people with homocysteine levels at like 17 and 18, and that's very, to me, that's very, very scary. That means they're just about to pass the point of no return where their body is just in mass inflammatory chaos. But, I mean, I don't care if they say that. All that matters is that you think of it differently and you view this as, I think I would be better off if my homocysteine levels were down around 6 as opposed to 8.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not going to be contentious and argue with him over that point.
So my goal is to get it down.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm working on. Stress level?
Yeah, that's right. Because what does stress do? Stress burns up all your nutrients.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I do have a semi-malabsorption issue.
And what is the cause of that? Is that from eating
stress?
Okay. Well, what are you doing to help improve your stress?
Well, from what I've been reading and studying on, it's a sulfur issue, and it's the, I believe I might have that MTHFR gene.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm looking into that, and I'm fixing to have a test on it. But from what I understand, taking the test doesn't matter. It's just going to tell you have it. There's nothing they can do for it.
No, they'll give you high doses of synthetic folate and B12, like methylcobalamin.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what? I really don't want to give you my full opinion on the information written about that topic, about that methylation gene, because I don't want to be, well, never mind. I'm gonna hold my tongue on that.
Well, you can
because
I'm
not I'm not entirely convinced that's the cat's meow.
Mm-hmm.
Even
mm-hmm.
though, and see, what I want to do is I want to hold back judgment, not to deny somebody good information, because, I mean, haven't you heard me talk on the radio before that when you eat animal proteins like eggs and salmon and tuna and, you know, calf liver, you're getting
B12. Mm-hmm.
I don't know of a physician that can really argue that point, that I am recommending all my patients come off B12 because I find it extremely, well, he's going to have a lot of dead patients. Because you got to have B12, and that's probably the main factor that regulates homocysteine, is going to be adequate levels of B12. But like anything else, though, if you have an absorption issue where you're having a hard time assimilating, and B12 is hands down the most challenging water-soluble vitamin to absorb and assimilate and utilize, because over time, our bodies can become quite lazy and sluggish and inflamed and malabsorb it.
Mm-hmm.
And so B12 is probably, out of everything that you could mention to me, it probably has more to do with homocysteine levels than anything else that I know of.
Interesting.
But you know what? I haven't been a really big fan of people bringing those books to me on that gene mutation.
Right.
And can I tell you the reason why is because they tend to put that at the top of the heap in order of importance, and I tend to put that way, way lower down, and I would say thinking is much more important, because if you're thinking stressful thoughts continually, then you're generating so much cortisol. The article that I read before I came on the air, it said that they have determined that there is a surge in cortisol right before someone commits suicide. And so I would say I would like to know more about that. So what if somebody has acne and they go to the doctor and they'd say, you know what, I'm the world's greatest dermatologist, let me give your daughter or your son Accutane. But all of a sudden, your son or your daughter starts having very dark, morose thoughts. Well, I don't like that. Just like you wouldn't like it. I don't know any parents
mm-hmm.
that would like that. But the thing of it is, what if this is the case? What if Accutane alters cortisol levels in the body? And this has been well studied and well known. Well, I think all the parents that have had children that commit suicide, once they start taking the drug called Accutane to kind of control zits, I think they have a lawsuit on their hands. Now, that's just
mm-hmm.
my opinion, but... And
yeah.
So what we're trying to do is we're trying to figure this out, but you're kind of you're doing the best you can with what you've got, and there's got to be something else besides the homocysteine. I mean, I mentioned earlier that...
high cortisol.
Do you have high cortisol?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know that?
I've had the testing done.
Well, see, what you're doing is you're opening up what's called a can of worms.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do you want to accomplish here? That's, you start off that you want to make sure that you have a very successful go with this Curaderm product so you can resolve the basal cell carcinoma. And you're doing a lot of good things, but, I mean, there's probably 12 areas that we need to look at. Now, I just don't know what the priority is. I just don't like to have high levels of cortisol. And so
well,
I can go back.
2 years ago, so I probably should get it tested again.
Well, and that might, to give yourself some confidence, yeah, because, I mean, what does cortisol do? When it's in excess, it tears down the tissues of your body, just like adrenaline does.
Mm-hmm.
Is adrenaline good? Yes. If I'm standing at the edge of the creek, and I look over my shoulder, and I see 25 hyenas, you know, I don't remember how it happened, but the railroad track, the circus car trumped over and all the hyenas started running toward me as soon as the train crashed. Well, I would like to have a surge of adrenaline. I'm trying to think, are there any trees that won't break once I Mm-hmm. So I'm looking for the tree, but adrenaline is a good thing to save your life when you're under stress. But I think that most people, they probably have a lot more stress than what they realize, and these things start to take their effect, and the body breaks down prematurely over time. Which, that's what too much cortisol does. It suppresses the immune system. Why do you think a doctor prescribes prednisone or cortisone when the immune system is just completely out of sorts? They're trying to suppress it. But the problem with prednisone is you could tell me, well, I forget sleeping at night, forget panic attacks, I'm having lots of anxiety, I've gained 30 pounds, I feel worse now than what I did. Boy, I almost think I felt better before the prednisone.
So what is sulfur to the body?
Well, you tell me which perspective you're coming from, because you said you think sulfur is a solution to this.
No, I don't.
Well, what did you? What did you, well, what was the phrase you said
about it?
Well, what did you say about sulfur earlier? You think sulfur is the key?
Well, I've heard.
Is that what you said a while ago?
Well, I can't remember. That was a.
Well,
minute
I thought
ago.
You said sulfur. Okay.
But I in my reading with that STMR thing, Majiggy, it was sulfur was an issue.
In what way?
You're not producing enough or absorbing it enough.
Okay. This is probably way, way too complicated, but I'm going to give you some examples, all right? It used to be when physicians would test cholesterol, one of the favorite forms that they would actually try to measure on purpose was a form called cholesterol sulfate. And so, let me back up slightly. I know I sound like a broken record, but if a brand new baby comes in the world, what is the perfect food for that baby? Is it Enfamil? Is it Similac? Is it Pedialyte? Is it
breast
Coca-Cola?
Milk.
What is it?
Breast milk.
Oh, breast milk, yes. Okay. If we look at breast milk, what is the composition of it? It's the dominant calorie. It's 54% fat. We should learn something from that. Number two, it's only 7% protein. We should learn something from that, too. So if we look at Similac or Enfamil, they're not 54% pure fat. And they're certainly not the fat that's found in mother's breast milk. So what's the protein content of Enfamil? It's exactly 9% protein. And what that's going to do is, when you have a formula-fed baby, you're going to have a head that's so big it can barely fit into the child carrier. So this ain't rocket science. If I go to Walmart in about, let me see, what time is it? If I go to Walmart in 20 minutes from now to pick up some avocados, which, by the way, when I see people using their Lone Star card to check out with food, it is not broccoli, asparagus, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, spinach, kale, carrots, parsley, onions, sweet potatoes, or avocados. That is not what they have in their basket, ever. That doesn't make me smart. I'm just telling you an observation. It's going to be process.
That's right.
It's maddening. I wonder what would happen if I were in charge. I'd change the rules. You can only have real food. And what we'd have is we'd have a whole bunch of people that are off food stamps because they feel so good they can't stand not going to work. But that's just my take on it. So, if I go to the store and I see 10 mothers pushing their babies around in the baskets, I would think all of them are cute and adorable. And I'm not blaming the baby and I'm not blaming the mama. But if the head is huge, that's a formula baby. That's never a breast milk baby, ever, ever, ever. We should learn something from that. But breast milk has one of the highest concentrations of cholesterol. And the form of cholesterol is called cholesterol sulfate. So can I just pretend that we have a sulfur molecule attached to cholesterol? Are you with me so far?
Yeah.
This narrative doesn't work for the medical profession, so they don't pursue it anymore. But I'm going to tell you what you have here. When you have a child that has severe autism, or at the other end of the spectrum, if you have an adult that has Alzheimer's, guess what they have non-existent levels of? Cholesterol sulfate. That does not fit the current narrative, so it's not talked about except from somebody like me or maybe you. So sulfur is one of the greatest healing, detoxifying molecules in the human body. And I know this is complicated. I'm just going to say there are exactly 49 chemical processes or steps that your body goes through to keep your blood moving at a high rate of speed. That means not too thick, not too thin. Are you with me on that?
Mm-hmm.
It's sulfur is what's responsible for that. We got to have sulfur. You can't live without it. What is the most dominant antioxidant? What's the most potent antioxidant that keeps you in radiant health? It's called glutathione.
Mm-hmm.
What is glutathione made from? Protein and sulfur. Yeah, you might need some selenium or manganese, a little bit of magnesium, vitamin C to make it. Sure, but it's made of protein and sulfur. You ever heard of alpha-lipoic acid? Guess what it's made from? Sulfur. So when when people live a long time, usually they have plenty of sulfur. What did God use to destroy the Sodomites? Sulfur.
Right.
It was on fire, but still it was sulfur.
Mm-hmm.
And so sulfur is essential to human life and existence. That's one of the reasons why. If people take, well, let me start over. When people have the highest measurable levels of whole vitamin C in their blood, they live on average 8 years longer. Or if your name is Joey, it's 10 years because you're bodybuilding every day. I'm just joking with Joey. But anyway, but number two, if we don't have, and that's one of the reasons why I am increasingly convinced, if you want to destroy the sulfur content in the body, you should just eat a lot of genetically modified wheat and high fructose corn syrup and sugar, because it'll sure do it. It'll destroy it faster than anything else. You want to destroy it, put your food in the microwave.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to destroy your health, let's use a microwave all day long. Sometimes I tactically choose not to hit a person hard about the microwave. I'm honest with everybody. I am very, very practical and pragmatic sometimes. But sometimes I think I've hit the person so hard on everything else, they're talking about putting all their food in the microwave. I'm going to talk about that next time. So that's one of the reasons why vitamin C is so effective, because it supports the sulfur pathway. That's one of the reasons why selenium is so powerful. It supports sulfation. That's one of the reasons why turmeric is like the greatest herbal supplement of all time, is because it supports sulfation. And maybe I'm saying this in reverse, but instead of just trying to look for a magic cure, why don't we support sulfation? I'm trying to think, who has the lowest amount of skin cancer in the universe? Those that have the most sulfur. Why is sunbathing so good up until a point? Because it promotes sulfation. So literally, when you expose your body to ultraviolet radiation that you can't even see with the naked eye, but you can feel it, if I go outside and I feel the rays of the sun on my face or on my neck or my hands, it feels good. It makes me feel good. I shouldn't tell you this, but I have a little secret here. I have to go outside every week in order to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like it recharges my batteries when I go outside in the fresh air and sunlight. You know how many people I talk to and I say, how much time do you spend outside each day? And they go, well, I just don't know if I can do that. I mean, what are you doing? Well, maybe a little TV. Well, how much? Oh, just 12 hours. And I'm going, oh, come on. Anyway, so sulfur is very essential. That's one of the reasons why. If I can give a compelling case to avoiding things that destroy sulfur, that's staying indoors. I think negative thoughts destroy sulfur. Or use it up. Maybe I should say it that way.
Can you ever have too much sulfur?
Yeah.
And what would be the symptoms of too little?
Well, the symptoms of too much is your zip code would be H-E-L-L. That's too much. Because that's what it says in the Bible. There is going to be... There is going to be sulfur. I tell you what, if I don't know how it's going to work out, so don't take me as the expert. But if you wake up like the rich man did in hell, it ain't going to be a pleasant smell. It's not going to be Chanel number 2 that you're smelling, or the fragrance of daisies growing in a field. No. Actually, if I said, what's a pleasant smell to me? Carolina jasmine. That's pleasant. Gardenias. That's real pleasant. I think gardenias smell great, but it's going to be sulfur in your nostrils. And it's going to be stench. I mean, have you ever smelled gunpowder before once it burns?
Yes.
I think Tula and Wolf ammo stinks. It works, but it stinks. I just think maybe they're using more sulfur or a different form of sulfur. But yeah, you can get too sulfur. I've just never seen that before. And in the modern times, I have just not seen that. Now, if you're working in the sulfur mines, don't you remember seeing the videos of Barabbas working down in the sulfur mines?
Yes.
He had to actually put a bandage over his eyes to keep from going blind from burning him with sulfur.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's really a video that was captured back in, 12 B.C.? I don't know. Yeah, but that's one of the reasons why broccoli and cabbage and cauliflower. Okay, I'm not making a joke by saying this, but if a person calls me on the phone, they say, Dr. Morgan, I've got out-of-control diabetes, and I've reached the threshold. And I'll say, what's that? I'm sick of it. I can't take it any longer. I want to do something. I go, oh, we might have something here. The person's finally reached their breaking point. Now we've got something to work with. That's a whole lot different than a person saying, you know, I'm blind in one eye, but this is really not that big of a deal, and they've already amputated both of my feet, but it's not that, I've got it under control. And I'm thinking, no, you do not. But that's their decision. If they want to lose their vision and have toes amputated, that's their choice. But if a person calls me, I'll say, so you're telling me that your blood sugar is very high in the morning? Yes. If I can convince him to eat a meal of meat and cabbage for supper, just take cabbage. It's the cheapest meal you're ever going to have. Well, it's not cheaper than ramen noodles. That's not good for you, though. But eating cabbage before you go to bed, every case I ever see, their blood sugar's lower in the morning. It's like magic. And guess what cabbage has? It has sulfur in it.
Wow.
So what is the active form of vitamin D3 that really works? The sulfate form. What's the form of cholesterol that prevents the brain from going bad? It's the sulfur form, cholesterol sulfate. I would challenge every person that has dementia or they have a child with severe autism to go and have a test to see what their cholesterol sulfate levels are. And if they do that, they may be shocked, because when they come back zero, maybe we could start to build a case that maybe the real reason we have all these problems is because we're destroying our sulfur in the body. Anyway, but thanks
very,
for
very, 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 very interesting.
But
thanks for
calling today. You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Okay,
you're welcome.
Bye bye.
I realize I need to give another person a chance here. If you'd like to call me on the radio, I'm looking at the phone lines right now. It's not lit up. 586-5257. That's area code 903. 586-5257, and you just call right in and we'll get right to it. But I'm convinced from my studies, when I look at the research of Dr. Stephanie Seneff, she is going to be one of my favorites. Anytime she writes an article, I know they're deep. What am I going to do? Tell you the truth, I have to read them 4 and 5 times to get the gist of it, but I love them. Good morning and welcome to Health Essentials. How are you?
Good. Hi, Dr. Morgan.
I can barely hear you. You're going to have to choke up on the mic a little bit, please.
Can you hear me now?
No, not much better. It's so faint and so light. Can you get your mouth a little bit closer?
Yes. Hold on. I got to go outside. So.
Okay.
There's a friend of ours that has a little...
Can you speak a little bit louder, please?
Can you hear me better now?
Not much. If I can barely hear you, I don't know if anybody in the radio audience can even hear at all.
Can you hear me now?
Not much better. I mean, you can try. Go ahead and try and tell me what you're thinking.
There's a little guy that is 2 years old and has rash all over his body.
Yeah.
And they think he got into some... They're living in an old house. He got into something. But he hasn't been able to get. He gets. It's like 5 type of rash, and they haven't been able to get anything to make it go away. You know, like he got into the stuff that gets in the walls, and they think. And I don't know if he got it in.
I'm sorry, I am having the hardest time making out your words, and I apologize about that. It's nothing against you. I just can't hear what you're saying. All I heard was a boy in a rash.
Okay, the little boy, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can now. What'd you do different?
Oh,
somehow it got on speaker before, so now it's
there. Were you on the speakerphone before?
Yeah, I didn't.
I'll just tell you right now, if you're on a speakerphone, just don't even try that.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. Well, you're a genius. You figured it out.
Sorry. He's 2 years old, and he got into that fiberglass stuff,
yeah.
And ever since, it's been like 3 weeks or more, he's been having fever and the rash all over his body, and they can't, nothing. They tried Benadryl, and that works a little bit, but as soon as he gets off of it, it's back. So
you don't even know what I'm looking at right now, but I'm looking at a picture of a child, and I'm going to quote the mother. It just ate away her face. Mom reveals 3-year-old daughter contracted herpes virus from a kid. Anyway, that's not relevant, maybe, but this kid's completely covered with a rash all over their body.
Yeah.
And so I need to keep a very open mind about this. I wonder if there's a possibility that this is absolutely the only possibility that they came in contact with fiberglass. Because if it was just a fiberglass reaction, all you do is you take a pair of pantyhose, preferably new ones, and you just rub it all over the body, and what that does, it pulls all the fiberglass out.
Okay.
But I realize we're removed from that. That's what you do the day of fiberglass exposure.
Okay.
Just rub pantyhose anywhere over your face or neck or arms or armpits. Because that's one thing I know about, because I've had fiberglass all over me before, and that was the only thing that got rid of it. And
okay.
So is there any chance that the child could have taken an antibiotic about the same time?
He might have, I don't know, because we don't see them very often.
And the point that I was getting to is this picture that I'm looking at on my phone right now of a child with a horrible rash, it's just a viral infection. And
okay.
So the worst rashes that I see in children are either viral or they're drug reaction allergy related.
Okay.
So that may not answer what you're after, but all I'm going to do is give you simple ideas to help resolve this, okay?
Okay, yeah.
Now, well, actually, let me ask you a question. How old is the child again?
2. 2,
okay. Do you know if the child's had any particular problem, like ear infections, tubes in the ears, strep throat, anything?
No idea.
Okay. Have you seen the child?
I haven't seen him. We just know the family because they pastor a sister church, and we really care about them, so they told
us. What you can do is you can immerse the child in a bath with about 2 cups of oatmeal.
Okay.
Or you can take a sock and put oatmeal in it, and you could just gently press over the skin.
Okay.
I would probably put about 2 to 3 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil in the bathtub and see if that has a soothing action. Sometimes, if anybody at the church or the dad knows what a red oak tree is, not everybody does, but I mean, if you're good at looking up pictures of a red oak tree, what you do is just go scrape the bark off the tree, and you boil the bark and make a tea, and you put it in a bathtub, and you're just trying to soak the kid. It helps draw out poisons.
Okay.
Sometimes with children, all I have to do is either give them bentonite clay internally, 1/2 teaspoon, and water 2x a day, 3x a day. To soak up all the poisons and stop it's the immune system that's overreacting. I just don't know if it's overreacting to a virus, a bacteria, penicillin. I can tell you right now, the worst rashes I have ever seen have been antibiotic reactions.
Okay.
These are the people that are hospitalized and they can't figure it out, and I'm going, what? They didn't have it before they took Macrobid or penicillin.
Yeah.
Or amoxicillin. So all you can do is ask, and if that's the case, then the solution would be giving the kids massive amounts of probiotics.
Okay.
But I know if I had a child that had a rash, I would probably be soaking them in the bathtub several times a day. I would be giving them dandelion tea to help discharge it. I'd put them in Epsom salt. I'd try oatmeal. I'd try baking soda. I'd try red oak bark. I would try clay internally. I would try giving them food-grade activated charcoal internally. I'd probably give them a product called Antrinex. I might give them thymus extract. I would give them nettle tea. Nettle tea is what you give to kind of reduce those horrible rashes. Nettle tea.
Okay.
You know what a bull nettle is?
Yes.
Are you and your husband going to have a picnic today in a field of bull nettles?
No, it's too freezing cold now.
Well, what if he's got a plan to serve hot chocolate in a ribeye steak?
No.
You're right. So, I mean, these are some of the things that you would do to help try to turn that off. Nettle tea, sometimes, and the first things first, don't you think that I understand at this point that every human being is different?
Yeah.
Sometimes you get a remedy that works so well for one person, you think, oh, my word, I've got another child this week coming to see me with the most wicked rash. Well, not necessarily, but for some it does. But
yeah.
Nettle tea, you know, from a stinging nettle.
Yeah.
that sometimes is very, very beneficial. But I think if it was my child, I'd probably give him echinacea big time.
Okay. I'll tell him.
Yeah, good.
Good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, and I'm glad I can hear you now.
Yeah, me too.
We won't use a speakerphone again.
No.
All right, good deal. Have a great weekend, man. Thanks.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, there are about 3 minutes left. That's plenty of time for another phone call if you want to call in. 903-586-5257. If nobody wants to call, I've got plenty of information here to cover. All right. I can almost guess. You know, there's got to be more to that story. Here's what I'm curious about. I wonder if the child had some type of viral food poisoning. That stuff is real, and I've seen that have wicked results at times. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Thanks. You're on your phone and not your speakerphone. Good girl. You get an A+.
Great. I have a friend that's in the 80s and has pneumonia, and they mentioned something about high levels of carbon dioxide.
Yeah.
Can you talk anything about that?
Yeah, and of course, what we need is oxygen. She needs oxygen. Now, the article that I read this morning, it was going back to the 1840s, the 1850s, and the 1860s, and they were saying in Germany and Poland, anytime somebody had pneumonia, they would do one thing with them. They'd carry them down to the salt mines. And so they sell a generator called a halo generator, and what it does is it spews salt dust into the air. And if this doesn't make logical sense, I'm sorry, I'll just try to oversimplify it, but what you're looking at is breathing in salt molecules is what absorbs the excess moisture in your lungs. It breaks down the mucus and the gunk and the thick snot and gunk in the lungs. And so for me, I would probably put a heaping tablespoon of Celtic salt in a pan of boiling water, and I'd breathe the vapors in through my nose to try to cleanse my lungs. Or better yet, take a tea kettle and put that water solution in there and give yourself a steam breathing treatment 3 or 4 times a day. Carbon dioxide is going to build up when you got like thick, gunky mucus. And sometimes that stuff becomes hard and crusty, but we got to dissolve it. And steam does it better than anything else does.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So a steam breathing treatment.
The Celtic sea salt.
Yeah, you can do that, sure. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is, if this person doesn't want to get pneumonia again, they need to get a salt lamp. Turn it on beside the bed. See what happens. It'll be very positive. You're trying to generate salt ions. And so the high level of carbon dioxide, I don't know that I'm concerned about that, but oxygen is what makes people feel good. The last time I checked, when there's zero oxygen, that doesn't go well for the human body. And so if she'll give herself steam breathing treatments, gargling with salt water, a halo generator, I checked on eBay about a year ago. They're like $900. That's just like too high, if you ask me. But a salt lamp, she can get a Himalayan salt lamp for $15.
And where can you get that?
I've seen them at Home Depot. I've seen them at Tuesday Morning. I've seen them on Amazon.com and eBay. But any you could type in, you can get on eBay right now or Amazon and type in Himalayan salt lamp. And I think it'll be, I love them. You know what I think is funny?
Yeah.
My son, constantly before he goes to bed, he goes and licks the lamp every night before bedtime. I think it's comical. Anyway, I hope that helps. Let me know.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, man. Bye-bye. You're listening to KBJS FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler Longview.